One, God sent a warning last Wednesday night. Preacher told me, he said, "Well, I don't feel like I had much liberty." And I said, "You didn't do much preaching last Wednesday, but you did a whole lot of pastoring. You got to know the difference." Brother Nathan has come with a warning. That's warning number two. Tonight I come with warning number three. I'm thoroughly convinced that somebody's fixing to get in some serious trouble. Jonah chapter number 1 tonight, verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Father, you know what you put on my heart tonight. Lord, you've sent out some warnings. Every time, Wednesday night, even as Brother Nathan was preaching tonight, Lord, I asked you to show me wherein they are preaching to me. And God, I pray that you'd help us not to shovel these messages off to our neighbor, not to pass them on to somebody else. But Lord, I'm thoroughly convinced you are sending out a merciful, merciful warning to somebody in these days. I believe with all my heart we got some of our young people that are weighed in the balances. Lord, they hadn't made their mind up whether they're going to go with you yet or not, and I pray they'd do so tonight and they'd make a positive choice to go with you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to labor any kind of lengthy introduction. I'm just going to say what I got on my heart, and I'm going to get out of the way. If I don't preach tonight, and whether I get in a preaching gear or not, that's fine with me. I'm going to say what the Holy Ghost told me to say this afternoon. I tried to force 15 other messages, and God told me to preach this. So I'd like to go to bed with a clean conscience tonight. I want to preach on this simple subject. When the preacher, when the missionary, when the evangelist, when the deacon, when their wives, when the teenagers, when anybody in the church, when you miss God on purpose. Jonah wasn't trying to find the mind of God. Jonah wasn't seeking and trying to be sensitive to the Lord's word. Jonah, on purpose, missed God. He made the choice to rebel against God on purpose. There have been times in my life when I prayed and asked God, "What do you want me to do sincerely?" And I didn't really know what to do, and I missed him. Really sincerely tried. You know, God didn't beat me up over that. He's seen my heart, and you have too. But there's been times in all our lives when God told us to do something, and we didn't do it. And we didn't do it on purpose. Four little points. If Jonah would have did God's will the first time God told him to, I wonder how long the book of Jonah really would be. I wonder if it'd be just two chapters long. Chapter 1 and chapter 3. But because Jonah missed God, we've got chapter 2 and we've got chapter 4. And God had to spend some time exposing Jonah for who he was and what he had done. And in the book that's being written about our lives, I wonder how many chapters God has had to write about our own rebellion. I'm not just preaching to preachers tonight. I'm not just preaching on when the missionary misses God or when the preacher misses God. I'm talking about when our wives miss God and our children miss God. I'm talking about when the deacons miss God and the song leaders miss God. I'm talking about when we all miss God on purpose. Four simple points and I'm done tonight. Number one, there's a mission rejected. God has got a mission for Jonah. And Jonah has fled the scene. I wonder how many missions under the sound of my voice tonight have been rejected. on purpose. There's a mission rejected. He has fled from the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like being in the presence of God. There's joy, there's peace, there's grace, there's mercy, there's fullness of joy, there's love. There's anything and everything that you need from God when you're living in His presence. But Jonah rejected God's mission, and now he is running from the presence of the Lord. That's why when people leave God and don't do His will, they don't want to go to church, they don't want to hear no preaching, they don't want to hear no singing. They're not turning on sermon audio looking for something to feed their soul from God. Now they're getting as far away from God as they can, and they're going to get cold, and they're going to get numb, and brother, it's going to be bad. I tell you, that's why the pastor, amen, and I appreciate the preaching this morning, but especially last Wednesday night, neighbor, if we don't keep a house clean around here, and men of God, I preached revivals for 25 years now, and the easiest places to preach are where men of God will stand and keep the house of God clean and keep people from grieving the Holy Ghost. We gotta keep it clean. But when we miss God on purpose, you can forget sinners getting saved. You can forget revival breaking out. And you can sense that spirit. And I didn't want to say this, but God told me to say it, sitting on the third pew there a minute ago. You can sense that attitude that somebody's got in here tonight. Oh no, a second message. Yes, just for you. Just to hammer that rotten, wicked attitude you got toward preaching out of your heart. Yeah. We dare not miss God on purpose. Amen. Just well say amen right there. Amen. Amen. He's running from the presence of God. Ever since God filled me with His sweet spirit, and I've not been everything I should be over there at the Victor Baptist Church. Spring of 96, around April, around March, I've been thirsty and hungry for it ever since. He's rejected a mission. He's fled the scene from the presence of God. He's fled the scene from a people that need God. The Ninevites needed God. They needed salvation. They needed to be born again. They needed to be washed in the blood. They needed to hear a gospel message. Hey, Jonah, why are you running? Somebody needed to hear what you had to say. Well, I'm not a preacher. Do you have to be? Do you have to be a preacher to give the gospel to somebody? I'm so sick of that attitude that you got to be a leader in the church. Hey, got to be a preacher, got to be a missionary. Why can't you look somebody in the God-given eyeballs on the job with love and compassion and tell them Jesus loves them and He wants to save them and invite them to church? I am forever indebted to Brother Gary Brown Sr. for raising his family in church, and Gary Jr. coming to my house and inviting me to church. And that night I got Holy Ghost born again. Don't you tell me God don't use people. Don't you tell me God don't use a track. Don't you tell me God doesn't use us to get somebody to God. We're praying for a burden for sinners. Hey, Jonah, hey, Nineveh's going to hell without God. You don't even care. Well, he didn't. I mean, I don't want to use the word hell out of context. Amen, and I don't do that. But Jonah's attitude was a hell with them. Let them burn. I don't care. You keep that attitude, and if you are saved, one day you'll stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll have the blood of untold thousands dripping off of your hands. He fled from a people that needed to get God. He had to pay the fare thereof. We won't labor that. You miss God on purpose, you'll pay for it. You will. Then, just a little side note, chapter 1, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. Jonah's on the wrong boat, going to the wrong city, and sent out a great wind. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. What about the people that Jonah was around that almost went to hell being with him? Well, Jonah knew God. Jonah had the gospel. Jonah could have gave him a tract. No, Jonah was backslid on God on purpose. Here he is on this boat, and the only reason God has sent a storm because Jonah missed God on purpose, and now he's got a bunch of lost heathen that's got false gods that are that close to dying without God. and go into hell. You know what Jonah might as well have done? He might as well have kicked them boys off a boat and sent them on into hell. That's how close they was. That was his attitude. That was his spirit. Lost people. God's will was made clear to Jonah. The handwriting was on the wall. But he missed God on purpose. God told you to preach. You didn't. God spoke to you about separation. You rejected it. God spoke to you about surrendering your life to God. Whatever it is, you hadn't done it. God still calls men to preach. God's still putting men on the mission field. I thought about, I was asking my wife this afternoon, I said, what kind of excuses do you think we could come up with not to serve God? She naturally said the right answer, there's not one. I said, well, let's just talk about the excuses people use. I can't. Well, I'm just not a good preacher, Brother John. Well, jump in line. I don't know if any of us really are. God's the only one that can make preaching what it needs to be. I don't run on my personality. I don't run on my zeal. It's God that opens the doors. It's God that comes down in power. It's God that answers prayer. And I'm afraid we rob him of his glory. I can't do it. I just ain't good enough. Well, Brother John, you don't understand. My marriage, these second and third marriages has hindered me. And if you've been married more than once, I want to make one thing clear in here tonight. There's no use in your face turning red when I mention that. I'm not your enemy. I'm your friend. And that may hinder you from certain leadership positions, but that does not disqualify you to win somebody to God. You just well say, man, right? Hey, that don't disqualify you to pray and call on God. That don't disqualify you to invite somebody to church. That don't disqualify you to have a good attitude and a good spirit. That don't disqualify you from sending missionaries on the field. That's not an excuse. Oh, I thought of another one. Well, Brother John, you wasn't raised up like I was. Well, neighbor, you wasn't raised up like I was. You wasn't raised up like some of these other people was. You can't blame a bad mom. You can't blame a bad dad. You can't blame a bad past. You can't blame none of it. Well, Brother Morgan, I'm just not going to do the will of God because I ain't got the money. You know, we got a Japanese word for that around here. It's called a hage washi. I ain't never had the money. I told Nick the other day, I said, Nick, great God, it'd be a blessing that if we could get in a ministry some way, somehow, that didn't require money. But God sends it in. Well, God told me to do something. I just ain't got no money to finance it. Step out. I've seen him do it time and time again. Step out. He'll send it in. Well, Brother John, you just don't know. I got too much going on here at home. My children are at a crucial age. I mean, they've just got all their driver's license, and man, they're getting jobs. So? They got jobs on the mission field. They got driver's license wherever God wants to send us, send you. Come on now, that's not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, Brother John, you just don't understand my wife. Well, I wish you wouldn't have put it that way, because, and I'm not saying this about any particular person in the building, so don't go out here saying I was accusing somebody, but yeah, we do. We understand, fully well aware. Nobody has to tell that she's a Jezebel. She might as well have it wrote on her stinking forehead. Am I right? We know she was born with her hands on her hips, and it's her way or the highway, and it's her kitchen, her house, and you're her husband. And ladies, I'll be honest with you, if you shout while the preacher's preaching to the men and you get a smile on your face and you get upset when a man of God gets up and says something about a woman's stubborn, ill spirit, you ain't no more full of God than a billy goat, and you need to get right with God and repent. I don't understand why they all time liberty to preach to the men, but, well, you go say something to the women, whoop, hit the brakes. Well, I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be a smart aleck kid. It just come if my, you got the wrong preacher in the pulpit for that tonight. I don't give a rip. If it's good for the man, it's good for the women. Somebody say amen right there. And I know you're mad enough to go outside and smoke a carton of cigarettes, and I ain't even barely hit it hard enough. Amen. Join the crowd. Amen. I got some women in my family probably finance your cigarettes, all right? Not me. We're going to put it on a mission field. Say amen. Right? I'm just about to get loosened up in here and preach a little bit. Well, my wife won't let me go. My husband, he holds me back. Neighbor, you can bloom where you're planted. You can bloom on your job. You can bloom in your town. Don't you let somebody like that hold you back. Well, it's going to get me out of my comfort zone. That's the one Stacy come up with. It's going to get me out of my comfort zone. Well, somebody testified about that tonight, did they not? In Jonah's case, he was just bitter toward the Ninevites. He hated them. The Ninevites, they killed and beat and tortured the Israelites, did things to them. Brother Chris, I would be careful to say, just between me and you, but never in front of a mixed company, the torture, the wickedness, the perversion, every bit of it, every bit of it. Every bit of it. I'm still hung up on that. My wife won't let me go. Amen. Yes, that's fine. That's fine. You were the roost down here. You won't be ruining it up there. All right. That's a sorry excuse. Amen. And he was bitter. He hated them. He couldn't stand them. He didn't want nothing to do with them. He was prejudiced. He was more than prejudiced. He was bitter. He was bitter, boy, and that's Jonah's. I'll prove that here in a minute. But there's this one. This is the one. My heart just ain't in it. God told, hey, God ain't always going to tell us to do something that we like. Has God ever told anybody in this building tonight to do something you didn't want to do? If he hasn't, you're rare, neighbor. Hey, sometimes God tells us to preach things that, man, I know how this is going to go. About like that, using your wife for an excuse just a moment ago. I'm going to hit it till you smile. I don't care. My heart just ain't in it. Why not? I'd never forget it as long as I live. I'm going to have to write it down. How many of y'all got to hear Preacher Raines at the camp meeting the other night? We had a priest on how to acquire your heart's desire. He looked out over at us and he said this. He said, now that you got it, what you going to do with it? Now that you got what you wanted, what you going to do with it? I was sitting there thinking, well, God blessed me with a good wife. God's blessed me with a tent. God's blessed us with a camp meeting. God's blessed us with a ministry. God's blessed us with revival meetings. What am I doing with it now? God blessed you with children. What are you going to do with them? Neighbor, it's easy to get your heart knocked out. I mean, it's easy, man. I fell out of a tree when I was a little boy one time, probably 10 years old. There wasn't nobody around. I fell flat on my back. I lost my breath, and I thought that was it for me. I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't get it. I thought in my mind, this is over. Anybody ever got the breath knocked out of you? I forget the first time we was playing football over at junior high. I got the breath knocked out of me. They didn't let me lay there. They made me get up. I didn't like it one bit. But I'm glad they did. And finally, when you get your breath back, neighbor, you're so thankful for that breath that you just want. Neighbor, God's fixing to give Jonah a second breath over here in chapter number 2 and chapter number 3. And in that breath, we come to our next point, and I promise you, I won't labor this, but first of all, there's a mission that's rejected. Have you rejected a mission? Number 2, missing God on purpose, there's a man that's rebuked. Chapter 2, chastisement. The reason for this rebuke, the reason for this chastisement was to get into a place where God will hear you. Chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible said in the middle of the verse, and he heard me. God's wanting to get us to a place where we can pray and be heard of God. The Bible said in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He ain't going to listen. God God's got Jonah in this whale's belly, and he's purging him of this sin. He's chastising him, and he's getting that junk out of his life that he could get his prayers answered again. Oh, could we testify tonight of, I know he heard my prayer, my earnest prayer. He is rebuking him to help get our hearts right. We mentioned a moment ago, the heart wasn't in it. You know, chapter number 2, the Lord didn't say a word. Would you read your Bible? Would you go home and study? I can't find where God said a word in chapter number 2. God was silent. So you know what that means? Jonah was doing every bit of the talking. You know what Jonah's doing? God's not giving him. I preached it a couple of months ago, and I said it looks like God's given Jonah a great message in chapter 2, all the prophecies of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. But God ain't telling him this. I tell you what Jonah's doing. He's living in past light. He don't have no future light, and he ain't got no present tense light. But all he's got is what he can look back to, and all that he had filled up in his heart. God is allowing that to be stirred up, that what's already in there. Neighbor, I tell you, we got everything we need in our hearts to have revival. Amen. And God would stir it up again. That God would help us to remember what he's done for us in days gone by. Don't get upset. This is what I like to call the merciful judgment of God in the life of Jonah. How's that? Well, he could have sent a shark. I mean, he could have got a chunk of his hide bit off. If he had sent a shark, that would have been the end of Jonah. God sent a whale. And when Jonah was in, and I don't like to get whipped, I don't like chastisement, but let me tell you this, when God is chastening us, there's two things you need to know. Don't you point at somebody and say, God's a whooping him or God's a whooping her. Yeah. You'll end up in the whale's belly right beside him. Yeah. Right. Number two, don't get all, I mean, sometimes we just get all messed up in our heads and our hearts. But, beloved, think about it. Jonah was in the safest place that he could have been. Oh, if he had been on a ship, it could have sunk. Jonah was heading for death. Jonah was heading for drowning. But now God has allowed Jonah to be swallowed up by a whale. Now, you know anything about schooling, what we learned in elementary school, that a whale is a mammal. Is that right? That don't mean it just has hair. That means it breathes air. Somebody say amen right there. I went to school that day. Can I get a witness? I didn't retain much, but what I did, I got it. And ain't it amazing that God put Jonah in a whale that had to have air? What about that? Well, we got to think a little bit deeper now. But Brother John, Jonah didn't land up in the whale's lungs. No, he didn't swallow him down the wrong pipe. He was in his belly. That's what the Bible says. So how did he get air? Amen. It's a miracle of God. Don't ask me. All I know is God put him in a whale that had to have air, and God kept Jonah alive. Jonah didn't die in that whale's belly. Amen. He stayed alive. He's a type of Christ. Christ died. Jonah didn't. Somebody give me a witness right there. And if you don't agree with that, don't argue about it. It ain't that big of a deal. All right? I'm just simply saying God had mercy on Jonah even while he's whooping him. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you parents, you don't even have to answer this out loud. Don't even nod your head, because I don't want nobody to get embarrassed. But I hope all you precious parents have practiced disciplining your children. Not with time out. Not with a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She's really scared. Look at her. She's laughing at you. No, but I'm talking about getting a hickory. Yeah. We don't like it. Never have liked whipping my children. Somebody told me one time, said, don't whip your youngins when you're mad. I said, well, I won't ever whip them in. I'll be like, well, it's okay. Just don't let it happen again. Next time I'll get... Man, we're not bragging on that. But you know what I've had to do and what you've had to do every time that God, or you ever whipped a child? You had to get close enough to get the job done. Oh, I'm in the way. Well, hey, God's close to you. He got close enough to you to get the job done. I don't like it when I hand daddy grab me and pull his belt off, sound like a machine gun going off. Mama go get a belt, we'd laugh at her. Tell her I'd already have, amen. She ain't gonna whoop me no more, I'll run from her. But she'd like to. But this thing, it's a protective place. It's to help our hearts out, it's to get rid of the hardness. God's tendering Jonah up. This chastisement is so somebody else could get help. It's a missing God on purpose. That's a man rebuked, a mission rejected. I'm not going to labor these next two. I'm done. Chapter 3, there's a message received. They listened to the preaching and got right with God. I mean, I preach so many times, people look at you like you got a booger hanging out of your nose or something. Calf looking at a new gate like a duck in a hailstorm that just got struck by lightning 14 times. I mean, it's just, I mean, look at, and then all of a sudden you go preach somewhere and they actually listen to you. they do more than just go to the altar with it. They repent. They get right with God. Hey, Jonah! You can't use being rejected by the people for an excuse. They received the message. Now, this message was a rough message. He didn't go in there with no grace. He didn't go in there with no mercy. He went in there and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overturned. I'm telling you, he didn't give them one ounce of hope. But you know what they did? They said, maybe God will repent. Maybe God will hear us. We're going to do our part. So they put on sackcloth. They put on ashes, even to the animals. Here they are. They're repenting. They're calling on God. God heard their prayer. Why? Because they heard preaching and they responded to the word of God. I like all my favorite kind of preaching is loud, fast, getting in that gear, swinging from the chandeliers. It really, really, that's my favorite. But I can sit and listen to a man with a monotone, but as long as he's got God on him. He ain't got to be running laps. As long as he's got the message from the Word of God, hammer that ice off our hearts. It's preaching. They preached to us, Pastor Philip. They did. They preached to us 25 years ago. And they got in our business. They got in our faces. They got in our grills. And dared us to say something about it. This Laodicean church age wouldn't have made it where we was 25 years ago. That fella's wife was talking about 10 minutes ago. She wouldn't have made it 10 minutes in the first message, would she? I gotta go! Woo! Amen. I'm going to preach it till I'm done, all right? Amen. Well, God help us, whoever it is, amen. I ain't going to look, but there's a message received. But then, lastly, and I'm done tonight. Chapter number 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, I don't understand this. God sent revival, people getting right with God, and Jonah's mad. If that would have been me, you know what I'd have done? I'd have said, wait a minute, where in the world is the king of Nineveh at? I'd say, hey, y'all tell the king I'm the one that brought that message. I'm ready to start the Nineveh First Baptist Church. I'm going to be the pastor. Y'all all going to get right with God. We're going to have a large youth choir, have a big camp meeting two or three times every year, have lots of good smoked pork and ribs and bologna, and I mean, name it. We got to do something with this, but not Jonah. He's sitting over there not capitalizing, if I could use a worldly term like that, not capitalizing on a positive situation. Can you imagine the church they could have had? Can you imagine the Sunday school program they could have had? Could you imagine it wouldn't have been a bus program? I guess it would have been a chariot program. Amen. Could you imagine the kids' church they could have had? Could you imagine all that they could have had? But no. The miserable reality is Everybody got revived but the preacher. Now, I hate to have to admit this, but I've been there just a time or two. You ever been there? Seemed like, what in the world are they shouting about? What are they running about? What are they smiling about? I'm sitting over here, and there's some lady over here on this side of the church. I feel God, His presence so good. I'm sitting over here, and I couldn't find him with a search warrant. I mean, they talking about God showing up. Ain't made a believer out of me yet. But then there'd be times God would get on me. Somebody else be sitting there. What? I don't know. But neighbor, I tell you what the miserable reality is a lot of times God's people don't want revival. We don't want change. We don't want preaching. Everybody's getting revived. It started out with a word in chapter 1. He got away on chapter 2. He got a second word in chapter 3. But now he's got a worm in chapter number 4. If I had time, I'd preach on when life turns from a whale to a worm. Jonah, I'm done. The sad reality is Jonah, and you can see it all through the book, especially chapter 4. Jonah's so selfish. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. Well, Lord, they didn't give me a love offer. Lord, they didn't nobody do for me. They didn't throw me a birthday party. You didn't need one. Say amen right there. What about us? Why we got to be so selfish? Jonah was so selfish. I mean, that tree gourd, whatever it was, that came up and gave him shade, that made him happy. That made him more happy than people getting right with God. Oh, my. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be so selfish and immature that when God does a work in your family and I still got needs in mind that I'm going to get envious and jealous. No, I'm going to rejoice that God done a work in your family because I know you'll rejoice when God does one in mine. Self-centered people. One thing God's burned on my heart, Pastor, and I'm done. In the last year, this 2021, since February, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I don't need the pats on the back. Too many people are getting their reward down here on earth. Too many. I'll just wait, and what little bit of reward I reckon I might get, I'll just wait and get it when I get there. We need to throw this selfishness out of our families. Selfishness out of our churches. Brother Rick, you taught the teen Sunday school class this past year. I don't know if you remember what you taught. Tremendous. Burning my heart. Why are we doing what we're doing? You remember that? I ask myself that question every day of my life. I don't want to be selfish. We don't need to be greedy. We don't need to be stingy. We don't need to be selfish. And we can't afford to miss God on purpose. Father, as the pastor comes, I've done my best to remind you tonight.